Okay, good morning to all. So we started a brand new sugya yesterday, the sugya of who is considered posel. As Rashi put it, either to be an aid, and Kol Shekein to be a dayan, and very important to keep track. We saw four cases in the Mishnah. Mesachik b'kuvya, malve b'ribis, mafriche yoinim, and seichare shvius. Now, we began a Tosis, a very important Tosis yesterday, which we're going to now try and complete today. So let's just remind ourselves of what we discussed yesterday. There is a discussion. These psulim mentioned in the Mishnah, are they psulim min ha-Torah or mid-Rabbanan? Let's remember, the Torah only talks about somebody being disqualified from Eidos if he is a Rosha Eid Chomos. Chomos means theft. So not every Aveira would necessarily render somebody as posel from an eid. If somebody was a Mechalal Shabbos, in theory, at the moment, we'll see whether this will change, but at the moment, we have no reason to think that he's posel from Eidos, because at the moment, we're reading the Pasuk simply, and the Pasuk talks only about Gezel, Chomos. So the question is, the cases mentioned in the Mishnah, are these people considered out and out gazlonim, real ganovim, or as Rashi put it, me'ein gazlonim? Me'ein means a type of, but it's not a real gezel. If it's only a type, meaning similar to, then clearly they're not posel min ha-Torah. What we wanted to know is, this was Tosis' question, does that apply right through the Mishnah? And the big difference was, because if you remember, Tosis began that some wanted to insert avodim. Avodim are non-Jewish slaves who are technically not Jewish, at least not completely Jewish, and they are all considered to be ganovim, out and out ganovim. Now, let's not make a mistake over here. There is no question whatsoever that avodim are definitely posel for Eidos. That's not the discussion over here. Avodim, aganovim, everyone is considered to be a ganov, they're posel from Eidos, that's not up for discussion. The discussion is, however, just technically, should they be included in the list of the Mishnah? Are they in fitting with the rest of the list? But let's not make a mistake. Even though we saw two opinions in Tosfos, the two opinions are not discussing whether they are posel. Of course they're posel, they're ganovim, they're the number one psulim. The question is only, do they appear on the list mentioned in the Mishnah? Now, the Girsa that we have, as mentioned, does not include any Zecher of Avodim whatsoever. But Tosas began by saying that there are those who are Geiras Avodim. Some included Avodim in this list because they clearly hold that our list refers not only to those who are Apostle Midrabbonon, but also those who are posel min ha-Torah, in which case avodim can rightfully take their place in the Mishnah. Tosfos disagreed. Again, not that he disagrees and holds that avodim are not posel. Of course they're posel. But rather he just disagrees. Avodim cannot feature on this list. Why not? Because this list of the Mishnah is a list only for psulim midrabbanan. Anybody who's posel deraisa might well be posel, but is not mentioned on this list. And now the avoda of Tosfos is simply to go through every single case and prove to us that the list that the Tana is mentioning is only psulim derabonon. Psulim deraisa are not mentioned for the simple reason that they don't need to be mentioned because it's explicit in the pasuk. So I don't actually need a Mishnah to tell me that somebody who's an Eved is posel from Eidos. It's obvious. The Torah says quite clearly that anybody who's accused of Chomos, anybody who's a Gazlan is posel. An Eved is a Gazlan, so one and one is two. So I don't need a Mishnah, says Tosfos, telling me Avodim are posel. What I do need is a Mishnah to be mechadish to me that there are a number of different categories of people who are similar, but not exactly the same as gazlonim, because they're not real gazlonim, they're not posel minatayra, but they are, however, posel midarabonon. And Tosis is now going to go through the list. Now, by way of introduction, we need to really refer to two pieces of Gemara. One piece of Gemara we referred to already. Why and what exactly is the psul of Masachik Bekuvia? Masachik Bekuvia, throwing dice, some type of betting or gambling. So if you remember, we saw very briefly, we're not learning the Gemara yet, but we saw briefly that the Gemara proposes two reasons. Either because of Asmachta, which, without getting involved in the details, but when you gamble and you bet, the question is whether you really have das to pay or not to pay. The second reason was a completely different reason. People who try and earn a livelihood from gambling are not being oisik bi yeshuvei shel olam. They're not being oisik in parnasa in the normal manner that people do. They clearly have no understanding in the comings and goings of finance, and therefore they cannot be an aid. That's one Gemara. There's another Gemara, just if you very, very briefly turn to Daf Chof Hei Omad Aleph. It's the next Omad. We're not going to learn it in depth now, it's not our sugya, but we just need to refer to one line. It's about 10 lines from the bottom of the Omad when the Gemara says, first word on the line, Bedovor. First word on the line, Bedovor. It says, Mafriche Yoinim. What exactly is Mafriche Yoinim? What is the psul? Says the Gemara, my mafriche yoinim. What exactly is this category of mafriche yoinim? The Gemara says, hocha turgma. Over here, I assume it means here in Babel, they translated it as I takdime yoinoch leyoivon. Will your yoina come first, precede my yoina? In other words, just like we have a horse race, here we have a Yoina race. And whoever's Yoina comes first will get the money. So it's also a type of gambling. Rather than throwing a dice, it's releasing these two pigeons, itakdime from the word koidem. Whose Yoina will arrive first? Whoever's does get the money, gets the money. That's one interpretation. Rav Chama bar Oishya Omar, Oro. What's Oro? So Oro, again, I don't want to see it inside, but let me just tell you, outside for a moment, Rashi explains, Oro is nothing to do whatsoever with pigeon racing, but rather it was some type of very clever tactic to encourage other people's birds to be captured by yourself. Basically, you took other people's birds. Now, if you took other people's birds, doesn't that simply sound like out-and-out gezel? Somebody owns a bird and you stole it. So Rashi and the Gemara explains that no. Again, we're not going to get involved in all the details, but suffice to say, we're talking about birds that, technically speaking, were not really owned by the first guy. Essentially, they're hefka. What happens if a bird flies into your garden today and makes a whole nest and sits there for half a year? Who owns that bird? So technically speaking, nobody owns the bird. I never did a kinyan, I never acquired it, I never borrowed it, I never bought it, I didn't do anything. Nonetheless, because it's sitting in my property for a while, we consider as if it belongs to me, although technically it does not actually belong to me. Which means if somebody else now takes it, technically you cannot accuse him of out and out stealing because it never actually belongs to me. But it's a type of stealing. It's not real stealing. The Gemara calls it Darakei Shalom. Meaning it's just a way of keeping the peace. At the end of the day, this bird has been sitting in my garden for 6 months. Don't take it away. Not because technically it really belongs to me, but Darakei Shalom. Just to keep the peace. It looks like it's mine. I'm treating it as if it's mine. Don't take it away. Now, obviously we will learn that Gemara in further depth when we get there. But I think we all understand, therefore, that whether you learn mafricha yonim is a pigeon race, or whether you learn it's taking this bird that, to be quite honest, doesn't actually belong to the other guy anyway. But what's the bottom line? That neither of them are proper gezel. Having a pigeon race may be a type of gambling and betting, but it's not gezel. Nobody can say if you have a pigeon race, that's considered gezel min ha-Torah. And so too in the cases of this taking these birds, darkei shalim, that's also not gezel min ha-Torah. So what would that therefore indicate? That's going to be Tosis's proof. Therefore, that what? The mafricha yoinim cannot be a psul min ha-Torah. Because however you learn mafricha yoinim, it's only a type similar to gezel, but it's not real gezel. What about Masachik Bekuvia? Now, Masachik Bekuvia, like we said, one reason was because he's not involved in Yishuv Ha'olam. So clearly, I think we all obviously understand that cannot be a psul min ha-Torah. He's not a gazlan. What about if you hold that the problem is asmachta? What does asmachta mean? Again, we'll see further details when we learn the Gemara. But the bottom line of asmachta is it's a question of whether I have real das or I do not have real das. When I throw that dice and I say whoever wins gets $1 million, did I mean it? Did I not mean it? If you hold that asmachta loy kanya, asmachta loy kanya means you don't really deserve the money because there wasn't out and out das. Does that mean, therefore, when I take $1 million from you, I'm a thief? The answer is no, because at the end of the day, you gave it to me willingly. Maybe when I throw the dice, I don't deserve the money by rights because it wasn't a real commitment. It was only a fake commitment. That may well be the case, but I did not put my hand into your pocket to steal $1 million. So all of these examples all seem to point in one direction, and this is precisely Tosis's point, and that is that the Mishnah is clearly listing psulim derabbanan. Now, why did the first opinion insert avodim? So Tosis explained, because that first opinion must have held that actually our Mishnah is psulim derabbanan and also psulim d'oraisa. And Tosfos' whole proof over here is to show us that no, actually everything is Rabbanon. But let's just pause for a moment. Why did the first opinion think that we are dealing with psulim, both Rabbanon and d'oraisa? So maybe the answer is, and this is where Tosfos is going to have to work extra hard, because let's not forget, there were two other cases in the Mishnah, Malve Beribis and Soichare Shvius. What's the common denominator between Soichare Shvius and Malve Beribis? In both of those cases, you should have received this product for free. I don't have to lend you money, but if I do lend you the money, I have no right to charge you for it. Or Shvius produce, which is Hefka, I have no right to charge you for it. So ultimately, I've taken money from you, which essentially I had no right to take. And I did so by transgressing an Issa min ha-Torah. Which Issa min ha-Torah? Ribis or Shmita. Maybe that's why the first opinion says, you see, we're clearly dealing with psulim min ha-Torah. And that's why I have every right to include avodim. So how will Tosfos now counter-challenge that? How can Tosfos possibly claim that our Mishnah is a comprehensive list of psulim derabbanan only when we clearly have in our Mishnah two cases of isurei d'oraisa? So let's have a look at Tosfos. Let's have a look at Tosfos. Let's go. Yeah, Larry.
Is a guy allowed to be an aid?
A guy?
Yeah.
No.
So, but you said it's an Eved Kanani. He's not Jewish. He's not a Jewish slave.
So an Eved Kanani has some halachas. I said, I corrected myself. I said he's not entirely Jewish. An Eved Kanani has to perform mitzvahs, at least the mitzvahs that a woman is mechuyev. There is a very, very, very complex discussion, therefore, how would we technically define an Eved Kanani? And the bottom line is that really, he's basically a half-Jew. When he's finally released, he has to go through Geirus. Does that mean he was an out-and-out goy until that point? Obviously not, because he was mechuyev to eat matzah on Seder night and keep Shabbos. So with regard to some aspects, basically we treat him as a woman. He has all the halachos of a woman. So let's have a look once again at Tosis.
And is a woman allowed to be an aid?
Yes, it depends what type of aid is though. We'll see. Wherever you need two aidim, an isha cannot be an aid. Where you only need an aid echad, then a woman can. For example, how do any of us eat supper at home? Your wife prepares for you a dinner. Maybe she put on your plate a piece of pork. The answer is aid echod ne'emon be'isurin. With regard to non-financial matters, non-marital matters, then one aid is enough. So if your wife puts food on the plate, then that is an aidus that clearly the food is okay, otherwise she wouldn't have given it to you.
And by the way, the reason I bring this up is because if the whole issue that you're bringing up an aid is Eved is that Eved is like a Gazlan, it would apply to an Eved Yehudi as well.
No, only Avodim Knanim are considered to be Gazlanim.
Why? What's the difference?
That's the principle of the Gemara. But when we're saying about Isha, let's just get back to Isha for a moment, a very important principle. The Makor that an aid Echod is believed in matters of Issa Veheta is very fascinatingly actually from an Isha. When an Isha becomes Tmeo, Tmeo Nido. So as we know, in order to become Tahira, she's got to go to the mikvah. But before she does that, she's got to do the bedikas. She's got to count 7 clean days. So when she tells her husband, I counted, I did the bedikas. Well, how does he know that's true? Where are the two Aiden? Where is the group of Edim who can testify that she went to the mikvah or that she did the bedikas? And the answer is we don't need it. Because an Eid Echod, even if it's the woman herself, is Ne'emon. And that's the whole Makor. Very often people ask me Shailas. Every day people bring Shailas, bedikas. And if I see that the husband has queried his wife's Ne'emonus, well, my wife said this, but how do I know she's true? And I always say, you have no right to doubt your wife's ne'emonus. The whole source in the Torah that a woman is believed as an Eid Echod is precisely from the very case that you're talking about in Isha Nida. So if a woman says, I did a bedika and it was fine, you have no right to say, no, I need to see the bedika, I need to check it. Who says it's okay? If she says it was okay, then she has to be believed. So have a look at Tosis now. Ve'elu hein apsulim. Yesh gersin avodim. Some have the text, they include in this list avodim. Why? Mishum de svir elei, because they hold the kochoshiv hocha, because they hold that what's being included over here, psulei de rabbonon ve do'iraisa. Also do'iraisas. So because they consider this list of being do'iraisas as well, they say that we have the prerogative, therefore, to include Avodim as well. Says Tosis, I'm very sorry to tell you, Veloi Nehira. This does not appear to me to be correct. Why? Mishum Deloi Choshev Masnisin Rak Psulei Drabonon. He says, you're misunderstanding the Mishnah. What is included in our Mishnah is only Psulim derabbanan. How do I know? Daha gazlonim loy ketani. Because no mention of gazlonim. That should have been the number one mention on the list. Why is it not mentioned? So clearly you see that our mission is not dealing with the races. And therefore, the kol psule de masnisin psule derabbanan ninhu. What does ninhu mean? They are. all the psulim of the Mishnah, they are all pasul midrabanan. So Tosis is now going to take our hand and go through all four cases. So I think it'll be rather helpful if you number them. Number one, Mesachek Bekuvia. Well, that's very easy, says Tosis. Mesachek Bekuvia. Afilu leman da'oma asmachtehi. Even according to the opinion who says that the problem is it's asmachta, da asmachta loikanya. And that asmachta means it wasn't really das. He wasn't being serious. He's not by rights coin of the money. Nonetheless, mikol mokim einoi do'iraisa. That doesn't mean that there was theft minatoira. Kiven she'einoi sovor. He never planned lasois issa lovelide psul do'iraisa. He never planned on stealing from the other person. It's true, they may have been gambling and betting, and they were just joking, and they didn't mean it seriously, but nobody had any type of intention now to steal from the other one. That wasn't the intention. It was all paid up by rights, by willingness on both parties. And according to the other opinion, well, that's even more obvious. Pshita. Well, it's obvious to Eino Yera Midrabonon. If you tell me that the problem is that he's not Oisak in Yeshuvei Shaloylam, well, obviously nobody's accusing him of theft. We're just saying that because he does not engage in normal manners of earning a parnasa, so he's not so in touch with the wheelings and dealings and the comings and goings of monetary affairs. But nobody in the world is going to accuse him of being posel min ha-Toira. So that's case number one. Number two. Umalva beribis. Now, if you lend beribis, well, that's an issa d'iraisa. So why would that only be posel midrabanan? So Tosfos says, no, very easy. We know there are two types of ribis. There is indeed ribis d'iraisa and ribis d'rabanan. Which ribis is the Mishnah talking about? If I say to you, I will lend you $100, but I'm stipulating that you pay me back $120, that's ribis minatayro. That's called ribis katsutsa. Katsutsa means it's fixed, it's stipulated. What happens if I did not stipulate that? I lend you 100 for 100. But then when you came to pay me back, you paid me back 120. That's ribis, because I'm taking more than I lent you, but it's not ribis minatayra. Why is it not ribis minatayra? Because I never stipulated it from the outset. Says Tosas, umalva beribis, Mairi, we're talking about beribis, she'eino ketsutsa. We're talking about ribis in the Mishnah, which is not stipulated. In which case, it's not ribis minatayra at all. Says Tosas, to be perfectly honest, va'afilu mairi beribis sheketsutso. And even if you're going to tell me that we are dealing with ribis ketsutso, nonetheless, loy mashmile issa. But he still does not mean, he doesn't understand that to be an issa. Why? Kiven demidaite Yohiv, because he's giving it midas, he's giving it with full consent. In other words, Rabbi Yisai, here comes a very, very important principle in Tosfos. Let's not make a mistake. We can have somebody who is over an issa min ha-toira, but is only posel le'edos midrabonon. How can that be? For example, in the case of ribis, even if we're talking about out and out ribis, ribis katsutsa. But let's not forget, when I lend you money, $100, on condition you pay me back 120, yes, that is an absolute issa min ha-toira. Yes, I have no right to charge it whatsoever. But do we all agree that you agreed to pay the 120? You paid it up very happily. I didn't steal it from you. I didn't put a gun to your head and say, give me $120. So even though it was absolutely awesome for me to do so, But you gave it midaite. You gave it with consent. You weren't forced into it. Therefore, it may well be that I was over an Issa deraisa, but there's no gezel min ha-Torah. Therefore, I'm only posel eidos midrabbanon. So therefore, Tosafos says, malve beribis is also not a proof that we're dealing with psulei deraisa, either because malve beribis is just ribis derabonon, or even if it's ribis deraisa, but it still would not render me posel eidos min ha-Torah because I didn't steal anything, because you paid up the money with consent. Therefore, says Tosafos, I'm still sticking to my guns. But this Mishnah is only talking about ribbit, is only talking about psulim midrabonon. Yes.
Isn't there a svara to say that if a guy's desperate for money and he's a Jew, and you say, listen, I know you need money, you're going to have to pay me ribbis, you're stealing from him because he has no choice.
No, that's not stealing.
I have no choice. I'm desperate for money.
Stealing is when I take
Hashem
it.
Hashem says, don't charge him ribbis, and you won't.
If I sell you a table for $1 million because I know you're desperate for a table, I stole from you, I didn't steal. It may well be that I was over an Issa min ha-Torah called Oino'o. I'm not allowed to overcharge. But at the end of the day, when I charge $1 million for my $50 table, why? Because I know that you're desperate for it and you absolutely need a table. I didn't steal, you paid
so
up.
Isn't overcharging a form of gezel?
No.
What?
It's an issa of Oinoya, but you did so willingly. Gezel, by definition, means you did it non-willingly. You were forced. Here you weren't forced. I didn't force you at all. Maybe circumstances force you, but I didn't force you. Gezel is, I took money from you and you are kicking and wailing and saying, don't take it. But when you pay me the $1 million, whether it's in interest or for my table, you didn't say, don't take it. You say, I'm more than happy to do it. Really? Yes, I would have loved not to have paid for it. But circumstances are such that I have to do so. So that's not gezel min ha-Torah.
Maybe it's das. Maybe that's the difference.
Yes, that's what Tosafos says. Midaite. I gave it midas with consent.
Gezel is behind your back. The guy stole from you. You didn't know what happened. He just stole from you. Right. That's gezel.
Even if I do know about it, the guy walks into my house and I see him take my table. So I know exactly what's going on. That's gezel. Because I'm not giving so midaite with consent. Okay, keep on reading in Tosafos. Says Tosafos, Mafricha Yoinim. This is number three. Now, Mafricha Yoinim, remember we saw two different interpretations. Says Tosafos, Mafricha Yoinim is also Midrabonon Psulim. It's only possible Midrabonon. Afilu Lamandama, who says, Itaktime Yoinich. Those are the words that we saw in Daf Chofei. If your Yoina comes first, that's also not a type of stealing. Haino mesachek bakuvia. So basically, that's a type of mesachek bakuvia. You can gamble by throwing a dice. You can gamble by flying pigeons. Ule iduch, and according to the other opinion, de oma ara, mipnei darkei sholem hu. Remember we said before, ara means I'm taking somebody else's birds, but to be perfectly honest, it's not really is. It's just darkei sholem. Well, if it's Darke Shalom, obviously, I'm not posel min ha-Torah because not really theft. And finally, number four says Tosafos, V'soichari shvius. Once again, if I trade in Shemitah, first he says Tosafos, it could be that Mayri b'shvius b'zman hazeh. Te'inoi osar elom midrabon. We know that Shemitah nowadays, we don't have a base of Migdash, is only a chiyuv midrabbanon. So once again, obviously, it's, I'm not a gazlan min ha-Torah. Not only that, va'afilu b'shvi'es doiraisa, and even in the times of the Beis Hamikdash where Shmita would be doiraisa, but again, loy choshev lei isa. Again, you're doing it with consent. Really, these payrois are really free of charge, but I'm charging you for them. I shouldn't be doing so, but you're paying me with consent. I didn't take money out of your pocket. I said, here are payrois, which essentially you could, in theory, have gone into the field and taken them for free, just like I did. But I got in there first, so I'm willing to sell them to you. You're willing to buy it. It might be osser to do so, but don't accuse me of stealing from you. Loi chashiv le'issa. Nobody plans on doing an issa of gezel. The mamsiin mois la'aniim. All I'm doing is trying to fund the poor. I'm a poor person. I don't have any income. So I go into the field of Shemitah. It's all for free. And then I sell it. I'm not allowed to sell it. You're allowed to go into a field and take peiros for free if you eat them, not if you sell them. Beseder. But at the end of the day, I did not steal money from you. So Tosfos has successfully proven 1, 2, 3, 4, all four cases, only Poslim Midrabonon. Avol, avodim. Sole midoi raisa ninhu. But avodim apostle minatoiro. That's not a psul de rabbonon. Why are they apostle minatoiro? Kal vachoyme mi isho. Why is it a kal vachoyme mi isho? Remember, we said that an eved has the halachic status of an isho, even though he's a man. But he has all the halachas of an isha. Now, as we asked, Larry, you asked before, is a woman kosher for Eidos? The answer is she's not, even though she's 100% Jewish. Uma isha shekashera lovoi bekohol. A woman is kosher to enter the Jewish community. She's a fully fledged Jew. An eved is not. An eved is a half goy. He cannot enter the Jewish community. He cannot marry a Jewess. But a woman is. And nonetheless, psula lahoid, she is disqualified from being an aid, ksiv ho'anoshim, not women. Therefore, eved, sheposel, etc., etc. An eved is not even considered fully fledged Jewish. Obviously, he cannot be an aid. That clearly is a psul min ha'Torah. Al kein nire. Therefore, it would appear to me, says Tosfos, the loy gorsinon avodim. We cannot possibly include avodim in the text. The loy mairi elo bepsuli derabonon. Elo bepsuli derabonon. So if you remember, we had yesterday two very subtle but clear diukim in Rashi. Look back at Rashi on the Mishnah now. Have you got the Rashi? It's the second Rashi on the Mishnah. Masachik Bekuvia. Rashi says, V'kulon, all of this list, what did Rashi say? Me'ein, underline the word, me'ein gazlonim. That was one diuk we had. And in the next Rashi, look at the Rashi V'seichare Shvius. Rashi says, "Hoyel v'chimud momen mavira al divrei teiro," because his desire for money has caused him to be oyvei suri deraisa. Havelei. Now here was even a more subtle diuk. Ka rosha de chomos. That kaf is critical. Rashi does not say havelei rosha chomos. He says havelei ka rosha. So what do those two Rashi's both indicate? Even though Rashi didn't actually spell out as clearly as Tosfos did, but it's pretty clear in Rashi with these two diukim that Rashi agrees. We're only talking about people who are me'ein gazlonim ke Rasha. But we are not talking about those who are apostle min ha'Torah. Somebody who's an out and out gazlon or an eved. By the way, maybe I said something inaccurate before. I said in the beginning, why are avodim possible for eidos? Because avodim are considered to be gazlonim. But we just saw at the end of Tosfos, Tosfos has a completely different reason. It's a kal vachomer from isha. If an isha is possible eidos, kal vachomer an eved, even without getting to the fact that he is a gazlon or not a gazlon. That would, by the way, answer Larry's question. That's obviously the distinction between an eved kanani and an eved ivri. An eved ivri is a fully fledged Jew. He doesn't have the mitzvahs of a woman. He's a fully fledged Jew. He's got 613 mitzvahs like any other man. So of course an Eved Ivri is kosher for Eidos. But an Eved Kanani who is only a half Jew is obviously possible for Eidos. No discussion about that. But he's possible min ha'Torah. If he's possible min ha'Torah, he cannot feature on this list of psulei derabbanan. Okay, a very beautiful, very important Tosfos. But as we mentioned, it quite clearly seems to be indicated in Rashi as well that he learns like Tosis as well.
What would be the Havamina to think that all these Psulim are Midiraisa?
No Havamina.
So then why are we going into a whole
Because the Havamina Tosis says,
well, there's no Gazel here.
No. Tosis says that the other opinion held that this Mishnah is Derabonon and also Deraisa. It's both. Nobody said it's only Deraisa. He read the Mishnah and says, listen, it says Malva Beribis, Shmita, those are Averas Minateiros. It must be Postal Minateiros. You see that both are mentioned on the list. And that Tosis disagreed and said, well, either we're not talking about Shmita Deraisa, or even if we are, but that's not considered theft because he paid with consent.
So basically, the bottom line is the thing boils down to a gazlan is posel, but someone who is over the halach the avera of ribis the araisa is not posel.
Right.
So it's not just you committed a bad avera. There are some averas that don't posel.
That's why we said gazel somebody. That's we said you can have somebody who is over an issa min ha-toiro, but he's posel eidos only midrabonon because he's not a gazlan.
So now the question becomes, what is it about a gazlan versus someone who does another big
avera? That's what the Torah says. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Rasha eid chamos. The Torah says a gazlan is disqualified. That's the Torah's qualification. Okay. Emet Hashem, we'll reconvene tomorrow. Bez Hashem.